Now we're going to move to the Obama administration to come in January when the Obama family moves into the White House. Michelle Obama has said that she is going to be mom in chief. She's certainly undergone a remarkable change from a hospital executive and primary breadwinner to now mom in chief. But her emphasis on steering clear of power within her husband's administration raises some questions about today's modern woman. Rebecca Traister, a staff writer with Salon.com, has a few thoughts on this. Welcome, Rebecca.
Hi.
You call it, or you refer to it as, the momification of the next first lady. Explain that.
Well, I think that one of the things we've seen happen to Michelle Obama over the course of the campaign is a concerted effort to make her into the kind of woman that is not at all threatening to an American people, a mom, a wife, a sister, a daughter. Her relationships to other people have been so emphasized so as not to make anyone uncomfortable with the fact that she, in fact, is a very high-powered professional American woman.
Let's listen to Valerie Jarrett, who's a very close strategist and confidant of the Obamas, talk about how she sees Michelle Obama's priorities as First Lady, or what Michelle Obama's priorities will be as First Lady.
The interests that she's had so far have been focusing on the work-life balance. She was a working mom. She knows how hard it is to manage being a mom, a spouse, have a professional job. And she has a lot of support. She's the first to say, look, I did it with all the support. She's also been focusing on military spouses and the challenges that they're up against. Volunteerism is another issue that's so important to her.
That's Valerie Jarrett speaking on Meet the Press on November 9th. What does that say to you?
Well, again, I think it's about making somebody digestible. There has been a lot, as we know, there has been so much conversation and change in terms of how America is coming to view race and gender during the course of these primaries, during the course of the election. Michelle Obama was a particularly threatening figure within a world that has traditionally been about white male power. She is this high-earning lawyer. She was Barack Obama's mentor when he was a summer associate. That's how they met. In many ways, she was as powerful or more powerful than her husband. And, you know, up until Hillary Clinton was the first First Lady we ever saw who had a postgraduate degree. This country is still not comfortable with women who are professionally or economically threatening or politically threatening, as we saw, you know, certainly during the primaries and during the general election. We're still very uncomfortable with female political power. And so what Valerie Jarrett is saying is, don't worry, Michelle Obama is just like all of you. She's a mom. She's a working mom. She's balanced. Now these issues that she's going to be dealing with are very real issues that are very closely tied to issues of political and economic parity for women. But they're being cast as a very comfortable mom role that everybody in America can feel okay about.
And there is a huge contradiction there, right, between a modern woman who is independent, she was the breadwinner of the family up until a couple of years ago, and essentially the role that they're outlining looks like the same role of any first lady, say, even 200 years ago.
Yes, and Michelle Obama is not a first lady of 200 years ago. It's incredible. Again, I do think there are some stealthy things happening here. The question of the balance of working families, again, is absolutely key to professional parity for women and professional economic power for women. In fact, this is something that Barack Obama has written about pretty extensively in The Audacity of Hope, happening within his own family, that as his career moved forward and they had children, the responsibility often fell to Michelle. Now, she still continued to be a very high-achieving lawyer and hospital executive, and in fact, on salary alone, was making more than him in 2006. But the question of how children get cared for, where the division of domestic labor goes, is a question that's absolutely fundamental to feminism. But we're certainly not, you know, we're not hearing about that. We're hearing about she's going to be, working on behalf of moms. As you say, this very feminized casting of, very feminized, very comfortable, very traditional casting of the role of First Lady.
Just to play devil's advocate, isn't part of being a modern working mother is having that choice? Perhaps this is exactly what Michelle Obama wants to do at this point in her life.
That's entirely possible. I will say that there was quite a bit of reporting. I'm sure Michelle Obama does want to do this, and let me just be clear. Of course, being, first of all, the mother to those girls and the father to those girls is going to be of enormous importance to both the Obamas, I'm sure. How could it not be? This is a huge transition. These are small children. In no way, I don't think, is anyone trying to suggest that the focus on parenting them and adjusting them and making sure everything's all right with them is, you know, is a top, if not one of the top priorities. I'm sure she's committed to doing it. I'm sure she wants to do it. But this is also a woman who had an independent career that was totally unrelated to her husband's. A very ambitious and focused career woman. And while I'm sure there are a million happy and wonderful things about the Obamas going to the White House, and I'm sure there are a million happy and wonderful things for Michelle Obama, I guess my question is that in all the fretting over the transitions that, for example, Sasha and Malia are going to have to make, or that Barack himself is going to have to make in a move from Chicago to, you know, Chicago-style shop to Washington, why there's less concern over what kind of transition it will feel like for a woman who's used to having an independent identity, her own paycheck, her own world that she goes to work in every day, separate from her home. What's it going to feel like to lose those things and become an extension of her husband?
Is she really going to lose those, Rebecca? I mean, I'm just wondering if you're personally offended by the style of this sort of rollout of Michelle, and if there maybe is an argument that, hey, look, they're just trying to make the transition easier by not repeating the mistakes of the Clintons, who were so sort of bold and talking about, you know, baking cookies and saying things that just sort of were off the cuff and ultimately became fodder for people who wanted to attack them.
Well, I think they are trying to not repeat what happened with the Clintons, but it makes me sad, actually, that that's the way it has to go. And by the way, if this is what they need to do, then this is what they need to do. This is not just personal judgment, like this is bad. I just wonder why we don't, you know, why there isn't as much consideration of how it would feel for an individual to totally lose her individuality in the public eye for the next 4 years or 8 years. And in terms of what happened with the Clintons, I think that was, you know, we can talk about what mistakes they made, but that was also an American discomfort with a powerful and equally powerful woman. And so the fact that the way the Clintons talked about Hillary and her job was considered a mistake, in part has to do with an American unreadiness to accept a woman like Hillary Clinton and a woman very much like Michelle Obama, both high-powered lawyers and equals to their husbands.
You just gave us a whole lot of things to talk about, Rebecca Traister. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Rebecca Traister is a staff writer for Salon.com.
There'd be lots to think about there as the Michelle Obama transition takes place between now and Inauguration Day. We're always on at The Takeaway, and here's one for you.
When I was going through college, one of the jobs I did was meter reading. I used to knock on people's doors and read their gas and electricity meters, and I could always fall back on that, I think.
That's Michael Hunter's fallback plan from the FT. We talked earlier to Paul Naraki, who got laid off and is putting on a sandwich board to get work. What's your advice for him or anyone who needs a job? 877-8-MY-TAKE or mytake@thetakeaway.org.
And if you missed anything on the show, you can check out our podcast on iTunes. I'm Adora Udoji.
And I'm John Hockenberry. This is The Takeaway.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.